The Irish rock band U2's new CD is being released tomorrow. It's called How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. To promote the album, the band partnered with Apple Computer for a series of television commercials. It's a common marketing strategy these days, says music critic Tom Moon.
Here we have what marketing types call the win-win. Apple gets to associate its Cool Hunter-approved playback gadget with one of the rock world's few bankable superstar brands. And just by appearing in those Dayglow iPod ads that have been running since the baseball playoffs, U2 gets to alert the world about its latest work. And what a coincidence! The song heard in the commercial is the new album's first single. You might think that U2 doesn't need such an all-points assault. After all, the last album sold millions and millions. But the band recognizes that it can no longer depend on radio alone to galvanize fans, much less win new ones. So when the iPod deal came along, U2, which had previously turned down megabucks to license its music for commercial purposes, didn't even ask for compensation. At an Apple event recently, lead singer Bono said that because the iPod has such iconic value, the promotion is mutually advantageous. And besides, the band will get royalties from a special black and red U2 edition iPod that's just been released. The alliance is hardly groundbreaking. It's the approach used by many smaller acts to spread the word about their music.
All the girls in every girly magazine can't make me feel.
That's Death Cab for Cutie with a song from the OC2 soundtrack. They're a smart Seattle band on the rise, and they'll probably benefit more from having that song associated with the TV show than from an entire year of steady touring.
So it written and so it say, bing a moon, and I get you on the moon.
This is Nick Drake. Ever since that car ad featuring his haunting voice several years ago, artists have explored all sorts of unconventional promo arrangements, mini CDs on soda lids, cell phone ringtones. The New York Times reported recently that EMI Music, the corporate home of Coldplay and Joss Stone, is entering into an agreement with a unit of Procter & Gamble, makers of toothpaste and shampoo, to help promote new releases to young consumers. Then there's the strange case of a duo called The Postal Service. The Postal Service are two musicians, one from Seattle and the other from Northern California, who began collaborating by sending tracks back and forth through the mail. So they thought the name The Postal Service was appropriate. That was until they got a cease and desist letter from the U.S. Postal Service, claiming trademark infringement. The band's label quickly spun confrontation into collaboration. They crafted a marketing deal, the government agency's first involving music. It aims to introduce postal products to a generation that seems more familiar with email than the mailman. How surreal is this all getting? As part of the deal, the band, The Postal Service, recently entertained U.S. Postal Service executives at a national conference. Can the phrase, "Would you like an MP3 with those downloadable stamps?" be far behind?
Our critic, Tom Moon, writes about music for the Philadelphia Inquirer.